would invite you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I want to read verses 1 through 9, and we will give our attention in the preaching to verses 6 through 9. But for context's sake, let me read these 9 verses. There were present at that season some who told him, that is Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that you can cut it down." May God bless His Word and our understanding of it tonight. We're in a series on the parables of Jesus. And tonight I'd like to consider this parable of the barren fig tree with you. I've been intrigued by it through the years, never preached on it. Thought I had a pretty good understanding of what it means and how we'd understand it, but realized in my preparations for this message that I didn't understand it as well as I thought I did. So this has been good for me, and I trust it will be helpful to you. The parable itself is just 4 verses long, and it highlights 2 primary things. Number 1, the need for repentance, and number 2, the slowness of God to execute judgment. The preceding passage, verses 1 through 5 that I read earlier, has stressed the importance of repenting. 2 times, Jesus makes reference to historical events, asks questions, "Are these Galileans worse sinners because these things happened to them? Are these others worse sinners because these things happened to them?" And he says twice, "I tell you, no, you shall. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So that passage stresses the importance of repenting. And this parable stresses the fact that opportunity to do so does not last forever. The parable begins with the words, "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none." Jesus said in John 15:1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." And I make reference to John 15:1 so that we would understand that the certain man that Jesus is referring to at the beginning of this parable, we're to understand that to be God the Father. God the Father is the certain man who had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. This parable has national application. Israel, like this fig tree, was planted in very fertile, well-tended, and well-drained ground. Sounds like what we've been hearing about in the series of the vine from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 2. Let me remind you of these words. It's been referenced a couple of times in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Isaiah 5, verse 2. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest of vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Israel had received continual blessings and favor from God. The covenants, the law, the temple service, the promises, the patriarchs, from whom Christ, according to the flesh, came. Paul reminds his audience of that in Romans chapter 9 and verses 4 and 5. And despite those rich privileges, Israel, like the fig tree, failed to produce fruit. So tonight I want to walk you through this parable, help you to understand it, and then make some application. And as we do, I have 10 headings to walk us through these 4 verses that make up this parable. 10 headings. Number 1, I want you to see with me the activity and the observation of God. The activity and observation of God. Verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard. Again, God the Father is being referred to by Jesus in this parable. What is the activity of God? God has planted a fig tree in his vineyard. The observation of God is, the implication is, it's not the only fig tree planted in this vineyard. There are many fig trees, no doubt, in this vineyard, but he is coming to inspect a particular fig tree in the vineyard, one that he has sought after, one he had looked after prior to this. This is the third year he's come inspecting this particular fig tree. So the activity and observation of God. Number 2, the inspection of God. The inspection of God. God's not only observing a particular fig tree, but he is particularly interested in this fig tree in Israel, in that he's inspecting it for fruit. He's seeking fruit. He expects to find fruit. Again, notice, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came doing what? Seeking fruit. Seeking fruit. So number 1, the activity and observation of God. Number 2, the inspection of God. Number 3, the discovery of God. What did his inspection reveal? The discovery of God, the latter half of verse 6. He came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. He found none, the discovery of God. I planted a fig tree in my yard. Certainly not a vineyard. It's just one single solitary fig tree in the yard, probably 8 or 10 years ago. And it has been one frustrating tree. In fact, about 4 years ago, because it had not produced any fruit, and it had been planted long enough to have produced fruit, I determined I'm digging this tree up. So I got my spade shovel and started to dig around it. And the more I went around that tree, the more I realized this thing has a root system. This thing is not going to give up easy. In fact, I gave up before it gave up. So I had sunk my shovel in or all the way around that, kept pushing, pulling, and could not dislodge it, and just decided, I'm going to leave this fig tree alone. It shows promise. It'll get leaves on it. It'll get little figs on it. And I've fertilized it. I've watered it. And up until last year, the figs would drop off and we would have no fruit. So it's a fruitless fig tree. It's basically useless. It's taken up space. But last year, we were surprised. We got, I don't know, 100, 150, maybe 200 figs off the tree over a 5 or 6 week period. And we thought, you know, that's what this tree is supposed to do. It's what it's supposed to produce. And I think what is the problem with the tree is it's in such a place that it's hard to be protected from the winter, and it dies back. And by the time spring rolls around and you cut the dead limbs off of it, it takes so long for it to grow and it just never produces anything. So, but back to our parable. God planted Israel with full expectation that it would bear fruit. It had every reason to bear fruit. It had every blessing from God in order to produce fruit. But as God came to inspect it, he found none. That leads us to point number 4, and that is the contemplation of God. Verse 7. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard. And I believe the proper understanding here is the antecedent for the first he is God the Father said to the keeper of the vineyard, the Lord Jesus Christ, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. The contemplation of God. No doubt, this had been under consideration, not just this year, but the previous year and the previous year. And you've got to give time for fruit to be produced on a tree, but after 3 years, the expectation is this thing ought to be producing fruit. And it hasn't. The contemplation of God. He said to the keeper of the vineyard. Number 5, the patience and the forbearance of God. Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. The patience and the forbearance of God. What kind of fruit is God looking for? What kind of fruit is God looking for? Now, we're talking about a fig tree, so we understand figs on a fig tree, but I'm talking now in terms of this metaphor is here to speak of other truth. So in spiritual terms, when God is looking over those that he's given life, those he has created, those that he has super, what is he looking for? God is looking for fruit in the lives of his people. And he's looking for the fruits of righteousness. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. The fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's what fruit God the Father's looking for. He's looking for the fruits of righteousness, and he's looking for the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And in order for that fruit to be present, righteousness has to be present, or there'll be no fruits of righteousness. And the Spirit has got to be present, or there will be no fruits of the Spirit. And God is looking intently, intentionally, expectantly for fruit. The patience and forbearance of God. Now again, our first understanding here is that this parable has national application. But it has application beyond the nation of Israel. It has individual application. In fact, this is a little, you can see how small this little booklet is. It's written by John Bunyan. Yes, Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan. And it's just simply entitled, The Barren Fig Tree. The Barren Fig Tree. And his entire approach to treating this parable of the barren fig tree is not national Israel, but a barren, false, professing Christian. That's the approach John Bunyan has taken. And I read that this week and benefited from it, appreciated it, but again, wondered how he could miss the obvious that this has first a national application to Israel. And I also wondered, when we're talking about the patience and the forbearance of God, for 3 years, and we know that the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was approximately 3 years. So was God saying that in this concentrated time of redemptive history, I have been looking particularly, intently, expectantly for fruit. And I have been patient and I have been long-suffering. The patience and the forbearance of God. We heard this morning Pastor Barkman tell us that God's posture is one, God's primary posture toward us is of blessing. God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us in such a way that we are fruit-bearing people. And then he reminded us that our posture, our chief posture, oftentimes is of presumption. We presume upon the grace of God. We put off these matters. But we were reminded again, and we will be reminded tonight, that there is an end to God's patience. There is an end to God's forbearance. So the patience and the forbearance of God. So we have looked at the first five headings. Number one, the activity and the observation of God, the inspection of God, the discovery of God, the contemplation of God, the patience and the forbearance of God. Number six, the chief concern of God. The chief concern of God, and that's the latter half of verse 7. He says, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. That's God's chief concern. He's looking for fruit. He's looking for evidence of productivity. He's looking for life. And God has a right to expect that. God has a right to be looking for that. God has a right to pass judgment on us in the absence of that. The chief concern of God. Number seven, the resolve of God. The resolve of God, the latter half of verse 7. I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? Cut it down. It is not serving any purpose. It exists for my purposes. I planted it. I planted it on purpose that it might bear fruit, and it's not bearing fruit, therefore cut it down. Don't allow it to take up space. Now, God's not just glancing at the fig tree. God is looking intently at the fig tree. And my fig tree is a pretty good sized tree. It's got some height to it. And when it's fig season, I am inspecting the tree. I'm walking around the tree. I'm looking under the leaves. I'm looking carefully for the evidence of fruit. And God is just as careful in His inspection and in His looking. And He won't overlook it if it's present. But if it's not present, He has a resolve. Cut it down. It's using up the ground. Then I want you to see with me the appeals to God. The appeals to God, verse 8. But He answered and said to him. He, the antecedent to He, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He answered and said to Him, God the Father, Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. The appeals to God. So God the Son is interceding on behalf of this fig tree. He's interceding on behalf of the nation of Israel. God the Son, we can say, is interceding to God the Father for the sake of the souls of men and women. An appeal to God. Don't cut it down. Don't destroy it. Let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. The appeals to God. Then I want you to see the means of grace of God. The means of grace of God. Let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Dig around it and fertilize it. Well, that's always a good thing. Dig it around it, loosen the dirt up around it. Disturb the roots, get some fertilizer on that, so when rain does come, it'll soak into the ground, and the roots can benefit from that. That's the analogy in terms of the fig tree. But what about spiritually? What is God doing in the lives of those that He desires to see spiritual fruit, and there is none? And God is forbearing, God is long-suffering toward them. Well, God is digging around their lives. He's disturbing their lives. He is bringing fertilizer to bear. He is bringing gospel appeals to them. He is setting truth before them. He is bringing providence to bear upon them. He is using the promptings of the Spirit. He's using the witness and the testimony of loved ones who care for their souls. All kinds of means of grace at God's disposal to awaken sinners, to provoke sinners, to cause people to bear fruits of righteousness and the fruits of the Spirit. The means of grace, and how thankful we need to be, and how we need to be actively involved in using those means of grace. As we pray, as we speak to people, as we live our lives as salt and light in this dark, decaying world, there are all kinds of ways where we can be fertilized, as it were. And then we see the final resolve of God. The final resolve of God is He relents. Okay, I won't cut the tree down. We'll let it stand another year. We'll see if the benefit of digging around it and fertilizing it produces fruit. If it bears fruit, verse 9, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. The final resolve of God. And you see, there is an end to God's patience. There is an end to God's forbearance. And none of us know where those limits are. And therefore, it behooves us not to be presumptuous, not to put off. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near, Isaiah 55, verse 6 says. Jesus warned this generation in John chapter 7 and verse 33, for a little while longer I am with you, then I go to Him who sent me. I go away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So we need to give consideration in our day. And I don't know who I'm listening or who's listening tonight. I think one of the most significant problems that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has is that the churches are full of people who have a false profession, have an empty profession. And the issue isn't what you think of yourself. The issue isn't what other people think of you. The issue is what God thinks of you as He inspects your life. Is there evidence of the fruits of righteousness? Is there the evidence of the fruits of the Spirit? Because there comes a time where God says, you know, you're done using up my ground. You're done using up my air. You're done. I'm through. I'm finished. My forbearance has run its course, and judgment will come. And some say, well, I've heard these threatenings before, and judgment hasn't come. If you do not repent of your sins and do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot forestall judgment. Judgment will come. It is inevitable. It is unavoidable. So whether that judgment comes and your life is snuffed out in this life, you will stand before God and give an account of your life. There is a day of judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And that should, if this is God's concern, if this is what God is looking for, it behooves us to be as concerned for our never-dying soul as God Himself is. And unfortunately, people are concerned about everything but the most important thing. It is amazing to me how little thought, how little concern people give for their never-dying soul. Push it out of mind. Busy myself. Turn up the music. Those who do have a concern for them, those who do try and talk to them, those who do try and come to them, they give the stiff arm to. Which is really what they're doing to God. They basically are giving the stiff arm to God. Leave me alone. And if you're lost tonight, the last thing you want is for God to leave you alone. Because if God leaves you alone, and God leaves you to yourself, you will die, separated from Him forever and ever. There will be a judgment that you will face. So the question is, what have you done? You who know yourself to be void of spiritual life. There's no evidence of fruit in your life. What has the multiplied repeated promptings, the instructions, the advantages, the pleadings, what have they produced in your life? Do you presume that those will go on and on and on? I don't know where the end of God's patience is with sinners. But this text tells us that there's an end to it. For 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I've found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? All right. One more year. One more year. Perhaps God is saying 3 more months, 6 more months. How many sermons have you heard? How many Sunday school classes have you sat through? And you've turned a deaf ear. You've shown no concern. You've been callous. You've been uninterested in these pleadings. Well, here's another one tonight. You're hearing this preacher plead with you, implore you to turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. How hard does life have to get before you agree with God about the reality of that? And say, you know what? As I take assessment of my life right now, my life has been hard. Well, you're just living out the truth of what God has already said, and you continue on the path you're on, the broad way that leads to destruction. It'll end in destruction, but guess what? On that broad way is all kinds of heartache, all kinds of misery, all kinds of pain, because the way of the transgressor is hard. God intends it that way. And it's a good God that does cause that way to be hard. That it might stop you in your tracks, may cause you to think, may cause you to consider, you know what? I'm on a fool's errand. This is not worth it. I'm ruining my life. I'm ruining the lives around me. I've ruined my family. I've ruined this. I've ruined that. So hear me tonight. Bow the knee to King Jesus. Declare your allegiance to Him. Determine that you're going to live for Him. His way is the best way. His way is the way of life and freedom. The devil is a liar. He's come to destroy. He's come to lie and deceive. He promises freedom, and when you indulge, it binds you. It enslaves you. Now, I promise you, if you are converted, you become a slave. But you become a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no better master than Him. He will do nothing but do you good. Be a servant. Be a servant of righteousness. For your soul's sake. That's the challenge tonight. God is looking for fruit. What does He see when He looks at your life? What do others see? You know, if you're blind, and the Bible says a lost man is blind, his sin blinds him. Part of the deception is that a blind man thinks he can actually see. And you see the layers of deception? The blind man needs someone to say to him, "You cannot trust yourself, you are blind. Hear me, listen to me." And you've got people around you trying to admonish you, trying to exhort you, trying to lovingly steer you in the right direction, trying to help you. Don't draw the conclusion that they're all wrong and you're right. You're blind. You're blind. They're the ones that can see. So trust their assessment. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it remains, if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down." May God cause His word to bear fruit in your heart and in your life. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You, by Your Spirit, would take Your word and cause it to bear fruit, eternal fruit, in the lives of those who have heard tonight. And for those who, under Spirit-guided self-examination, find real evidence of the fruit of righteousness and the fruits of the Spirit, cause them to rejoice in what You have done. It is You who has quickened them to life. It is You who has caused them to be fruitful. Help us, Father, to live lives that are God-honoring and God-pleasing, and to live lives that reflect well on You. Father, for those who are hearing tonight and are outside the ark of safety, Lord, please grant them a measure of grace to flee the wrath to come and to flee to Him who bore that wrath that they would never have to. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now blessed is he who reads this word and understands it. Now to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.